And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I think that Biden keeps rolling on. He had a good week last week, maybe his best week. Last week, we said that it looked like momentum was shifting in the to the favor of the Democrats. And this week, we saw that Biden had, I don't know, things that he calls a victory. Well, maybe are a victory.
There's, a lot of things. I mean, the number of new jobs was huge.
500 some odd thousand new jobs.
Back to where we were before COVID. Mm-hmm. The price of gas continues to drop pretty dramatically, although the press doesn't cover it as much as they covered the rise. He got the head of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden's number two guy, and he won this big congressional reconciliation bill.
Well, that wasn't really Biden. In fact, Biden didn't know about it. That was really Chuck Schumer's doing.
Schumer, but they stuck with it. They stuck with it, and he's going to, he got criticism when it didn't happen, so he's going to have to get credit when it does happen. He'll have a big signing. Mm-hmm. He'll be out of isolation, and he'll do that. And the Republicans continue to shoot themselves in the foot with their overreach. The vote in Kansas and what Ron Johnson's been doing and coming up with.
What has he been coming up with?
Well, he came up this week and said that we've got to do away with these entitlements, like Social Security and Medicare and veterans benefits, that they have to be essentially budget items that get voted on every year. They can't stay away from that third rail.
That's the bedrock position of all of these libertarians. Public housing is no good. Medicare is no good. Medicaid is no good. Public education is no good. None of that is any good. So therefore, you have to get away from it.
Yeah. He's the second one to come out on that. Rick Scott had part of that in the Republican plan as well.
Josh Hawley has spoken about that as well.
Josh Hawley.
You can laugh at Josh Hawley, but he graduated at the top of his class in Harvard.
Well,
these are not people who are jerks. These are just people who are deeply reactionary and inhuman.
No, well, they act like jerks.
They act like jerks, but they're not jerks.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. They mean to do it. They think
they
think of it as tough love.
People have to suffer in order to improve themselves.
That's right. Very, very Calvinist approach to life.
Yeah.
And it's part, and by the way, it's part of the general drift toward eroding the United States as a secular state. And making it a religious state—that that's what they aim to do.
Yeah, and of course the Supreme Court is helping them.
Yep.
By the way, Chris Wallace called Ron Johnson's statement a suicide pact. Johnson's up for re-election, and he survived the last time. We'll have to see whether he's able to survive now. His opponents made a couple of, gaffes in terms of trying to get, the more centrist voters in Wisconsin. But we'll see. We'll see. But, I think the Kansas vote was significant. The overreach that the Republicans have done on, and they keep going for more on the abortion issue. It was a decisive vote in Kansas, a very conservative state. not just Democrats, but Republicans came out to vote against this constitutional amendment. And I heard one statistic that 20% of the people who came out to vote only voted on that, not on all the candidates and things that were voting. So that has certainly...
Well, that makes sense. I mean, the anti-abortion forces always said that they were just a single-issue group. Not true, but that's what they said.
That's what they said. And, you know, and they want to go for contraceptives. But, you know, the things that have been coming out, you had that 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio having to go to Indiana. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now Indiana has passed a very harsh law. Mm-hmm. And immediately the repercussions. If you remember, when Mike Pence was governor, they passed this harsh law about gays. Mm-hmm. And business community stood up and said, we're not coming. We're not, you know, like, what was it? The NCAA said we're not going to play basketball.
Right.
Or tournament there and
right.
Other things. And Eli Lilly this week came out and said, you know, Indiana's our home state, but we're going to have if we're going to expand our workforce, it isn't going to be in Indiana because we're not going to be able to attract women. Or men who are married to women who want to have the rights to have, free choice in how their mm-hmm. the reproductive systems exist. So, mm-hmm. we're going to see that, and that's all inuring to the benefit of the Democrats. It depends on how well they're able to package it though, and sell it.
Well, they seem to be doing pretty good in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Fox polls look very good for Fetterman and for Shapiro and look terrible for Oz and Mastriano.
Yeah.
That's Fox. I mean, that's not MSNBC.
No, it's the Fox poll. They have both Shapiro and Fetterman up by double digits. And
if not over, very close to 50%.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how Oz and Mastriano try to catch up here. It every day that goes by, and what's happened is both Shapiro and Oz and Fetterman have gone out there because they've had big fundraising, and they've defined their opponents. Now, Oz, of course, was getting defined by McCormick in the primary, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But although Fetterman hasn't been on the hustings, what he's been able to do is he keeps going after the open wound that Oz has, that he's a carpetbagger. And virtually every day, Fetterman is out there reminding people of that. And it seems to be working,
But I think the big news from the Fetterman campaign is that Fetterman is finally campaigning.
Yeah.
So yeah. It looks like he's gotten over the stroke enough so that his speech probably is back to where he can actually give a speech.
Well, next week I'm going to find out because I'm going to a gathering for him on Sunday here in Lackawanna County.
Uh-huh. Well, that's big. I mean, he can't but help himself because he's popular when he appears.
Yep. They've tried to label a couple of things. They said, when he was Mayor Braddock, his family was still supporting him. But
what's the big deal?
Oz's in-laws are support. Yeah. With their billionaire class,
Yeah.
That's not a good argument for Oz. It's not a good argument for Oz. And Mastriano ran into more problems this week with his ally, Andrew Torba from Gab.com. Torba kept...
Let's remind our listeners that Gab is specifically in existence to provide a place for Nazis, neo-Nazis, racists, fascists, who keep getting thrown off other places, to give them a place where they can spew their filth, their hatred, their incitement to genocide, under the guise of free speech.
Yeah, that's just where I was going to go. They say it's not for us to decide who gets free speech or not free speech.
Right.
We provide it. You know, essentially, it's like taking blood money. I'll make my money by wallowing in the filth. Andrew Torba, you know.
Right, and there's nobody. There's nobody on who subscribes to Gab who doesn't want to get fascist, Nazi, racist material.
So yeah, white supremacist stuff.
Yeah, Christian nationalist stuff.
For sure.
It's all package. It's all one package.
Yeah, but Torba himself came out this week and talked about the Jews. You know, Jews are welcome as soon as they repent and convert.
Right.
Yeah, then you're okay. I mean, you're essentially, you know, back to the Inquisition.
That's correct.
And he's unrepentant in that, Torbe is. He keeps doubling down on that stuff. He keeps doubling down on that stuff. And what happened was Mastriano paid him $5,000 to be able to have access to his database.
Right. In other words, he put up money in order to be able to make sure that he was talking to people who were racist, Nazis, genocidal killers, or at least aspiring to be genocidal killers, people who want to suppress the rights of women, the scum of the earth, the scum of the earth. He wants to make sure that Mastriano wants to make sure that they're lined up behind him.
Yeah. Well, remember the fellow that went into the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh was on Gab declaring, "I'm going in."
At the time he went in?
At the time he went in.
That was free speech.
That was his platform of choice.
Yeah, right.
So we know what kind is out there. And
he's your neighbor.
Yeah, I went by his office today, twice, in Clark Summit, Lackawanna County. You know, and that's wonderful neighbors we have.
Yeah. But his statement, I mean, it pays to see his statement. They're not anti-Semitic because they'll accept any Jews who converts to being a non-Jew.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's logic.
That's logic, you know.
Yeah. But other things have been happening in Pennsylvania besides that. I don't suppose Torba's going to go away. He's got enough money to keep going. But the Democrats scored a big win in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court this week.
Yeah, the Supreme Court upheld what's known as Act 77, which was the deal that was made between the Republicans in the state legislature and the Governor Wolf that allowed for mail-in ballots. With previously, you could only get a mail-in ballot if you were unable.
You had to be disabled or sick.
Right. Sick or going to be out of the state.
Yeah.
On business.
And you had to prove it. You had to produce documentation.
And if you came back in the state, you were obligated to go to your polling place, pull your absentee ballot, and then vote in person.
Mm-hmm.
The trade-off the Republicans got was that they ended the idea that you could do straight party voting by just checking off your party. And
meaning that the down-ballot candidates benefited from the fact that people came in to vote for the president and the auditor of the county got a vote.
Yeah. Now, the interesting part was that this lawsuit was brought by the Republicans in the legislature that voted for the act. They're saying the act that or Republicans in certain counties, the act that we want overturned as unconstitutional is the one that we put into effect.
You find something wrong with that? The art of the deal teaches that the no deal is ever finished. No agreement ever holds if it can be knocked down. Right? And that's a law of real estate development.
Yeah. You know, that no deal is ever finished. That reminds me of once I was in Tangiers. I'd gone to Spain and we took one of these boats over past the Rock of Gibraltar. And we're walking through the Casbah, and this guy kept trying to sell me caftans. And he kept following me, and it was like right out of Casablanca. Every block we went, the price kept coming down, coming down, coming down.
Right.
And finally, I decided to buy one. The price got low enough, and then after I bought it, he said, "How about giving me a tip?" You know, right. Like, you know, the deal is over, but it's not over.
Right. That's exactly right. And you know, if you know that that's a rule of real estate, you understand Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Trump now, you know, they're still going after that deal in New York State. I believe his daughter and son testified this week. And Trump is going to have to testify. He was supposed to testify, but the funeral for his former wife got in there. But I think that's coming up within the next week or two, that he's going to have to go in and he's going to have to make a decision whether he pleads the Fifth Amendment or he doesn't.
The funeral for Ivana and the subsequent events were very telling. You know, after the funeral, they buried her in a cemetery which turned out to be the first tee of his golf club in New Jersey.
Right.
And under New Jersey law, if you bury people someplace, the place where you bury them is a cemetery. And cemeteries are exempt from New Jersey taxation. So Trump is moving to exempt his Bedminster Golf Club from taxation on the basis that there's a
cemetery.
Somebody's buried there. So
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That's when is something just because you call it something?
Well, that brings us up back to Viktor Orban.
Viktor Orban, yeah,
who was in Texas this last week, speaking at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference, right?
Right after he condemned countries that are of mixed race.
Right. Right. He said that was the destruction of civilization, mixed races.
Mixed races in countries. Somebody said, then should we, you know, have all the white people that came to mix in, you know, Native American lands, should they have to leave? Just the idea that he had it. Actually, one of his top aides resigned because of what he said, you know.
Yeah, he said it was a Nazi speech.
Yeah, it was a Nazi speech. But that doesn't, you know, CPAC right now is just, I mean, there were things in CPAC that you couldn't believe. What was it? The MyPillow guy was talking about machines taking over 43 countries or something like that. And one of the other just crazy stuff, just absolutely.
Where does this get MyPillow and sell his pillows?
Well, he's now into other products. He's selling his slippers, and I don't know what else he's up to. But I think it's run the gamut of on the pillows type of thing.
I've never seen any MyPillow pillows, and I don't think people ought to put their heads on them. They ought to boycott his pillows.
Well, that was keeping Fox News going for a while.
Boycotting the pillows?
No, well, not boycotting, but his advertising there. I think when when Tucker Carlson was getting a lot of flack, I think that that was keeping it going. By the way, Fox seems to be pulling away from Donald Trump. And actually, I think that the feeling seems to be kind of mutual. Trump's been on Newsmax. We've seen the Murdoch newspapers pulling away from Trump. The New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, the two flagships, both have condemned certain things. And Trump hasn't been able to, you know, be on any of the Fox shows as of late.
Well, so, he may not have been on it, and maybe for Donald Trump as an individual, that's not so good, but Trumpism lives on in Ron DeSantis. He's always on.
Yeah, he's always on, and he's out there again. He suspended a duly elected state's attorney or district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Because the attorney said he may not enforce the anti-abortion laws, although he hasn't taken any actions yet, and so that's
the idea of sheriffs and DAs not enforcing laws that are patently contrary to the interests of the people is a tradition in America and in Northeast Pennsylvania, a tradition. During the days of the fugitive slave law in the 1850s, in Susquehanna County, the sheriff refused, and he wasn't alone in this, many sheriffs refused to enforce the fugitive slave law. That was a law that said that any black person could, in the North or in a non-slave area, could be apprehended and sold back or delivered back into slavery. And it was up to that person to prove that he wasn't a slave. A nearly impossible task. There were no documents in those days that, you know, people had access to. And the sheriff here in Susquehanna County in the 1850s refused to enforce that law. And it led to the creation of a very large, economically significant African-American population in Susquehanna County, because yeah, people felt they didn't have to go to Canada. They could stop off here, and they were protected. They were safe.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because that kind of works both ways. There's that's effectively nullification.
It is. That's true.
But, of course, the South wanted to nullify any laws that that they didn't like.
And there's plenty of governors and attorneys general today who say they don't feel that they have the obligation to enforce federal laws they don't like Medicare.
Right. But the interesting part, you know, you talk about Florida, was that there are sheriffs in Florida, and there's the sheriff's movement to not enforce laws with regard to guns and things like that. And DeSantis hasn't suspended any of them.
You mean gun safety?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, the sin is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. But that's part of this, I think, Bannonism breakdown of authority that he encourages.
Yeah, he encourages it. He organizes it. He's got a movement behind it. And DeSantis is better at it than Trump. Let's face it. If Trump retires and DeSantis takes his movement over, it'll be a much more dangerous movement, because DeSantis doesn't have the character faults, the lack of ability to focus, the inability to reason that are characteristic of Trump.
Yeah,
DeSantis is another one of these guys who's intelligent but bad, who's got a good education, who's got terrific achievements, but he's a rotten human being.
Rank opportunist.
And that's a good quality.
it is what it is. And
speaking of rank opportunists, Alex Jones may have gotten smacked down. May have. I'm not sure it really means anything. He was found guilty. and he was ordered to pay $4 million in compensatory damages and $41 million in punitive damages, so he went bankrupt.
Well, just, actually went bankrupt.
Just like the Sackler brothers, the Sackler family threatened to do with the opioids. They said, if you go after us bad enough, we'll just go bankrupt.
Yeah, but in the Sackler family case, the bankruptcy judge didn't allow him to get away with it so easily.
Right, but in Alex Jones's case, they accepted his bankruptcy.
Well, but it hasn't been fully adjudicated. He just filed it. They have to accept the filing.
Right.
Whether they accept the premise. And there was testimony in that case that he's, as to how much he was making. At one point, they said he was making $800,000 a day selling these supplements and these deals. That he's been hiding and shifting assets and what have you. But the big thing about Alex Jones is, one, he got exposed and had to admit that what he was peddling in terms of the Sandy Hook case being a hoax, that was bunk. But the other thing is, you know, the other issue is on punitive damages, whether or not what the jury awarded will ever be collectible, or at least in that amount, because there could be limitations under the Texas law to $750,000 per person. This is what's known as tort reform, and there was a cap on these things. It was put in really to protect doctors from malpractice suits, but it applies also to corporations and to what have you. You know, the corporations that get caught on maybe these chemical exposures and things like that. So, but Jones got called out, and the judge says, You're not on the air, Mr. Jones. You're in a court of law, where the rule—you know—he doesn't make the rules.
No, but he tried his best.
He tries his best, and you know, and it's a good lesson in how these guys are always scheming and always trying. Yeah. There's no shame. There's no repentance.
In that sense, you know, Biden may have had a good week, maybe his best week in a long time, but. But Trump didn't have a bad week either. I mean, the vote in Arizona went his way.
Yeah.
The candidates he endorsed, the ones who were running against opponents, I'm not talking about the ones who were unopposed, and therefore the endorsement didn't matter, but the ones who were running against opponents, and every one of them was running on the platform of Trump, like him or not, he's our leader. Trump, good or bad, always defend him, and he was cheated of the election, and Biden stole the election. That was their common platform, and they won.
By the way, did you see who lost in Arizona? Lost big time was Rusty Bowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy who refused to alter the vote.
Right.
He was the state senator, and he testified for the January 6th commission.
Well, whether the Republicans can win with these candidates, that's another story, but this just shows that the Republican, part of the Republican Party depends on the state. They're Trumpists.
Yeah. It's going to be, you know, Claire McCaskill was successful going against, Todd Aiken or whatever
Todd
his
Aiken,
name
Todd Aiken.
But we'll see. You know, in November, we're going to see in places like Arizona and a couple of other spots what's going to happen. Peter Mayer lost his primary in Michigan. And, you know, and people were saying, the Democrats shouldn't have supported or helped his opponent, but you know, Peter Mayer voted for impeachment, but when he lost the primary, he endorsed the guy who claims it was, you know, that Trump didn't lose. So
the hell with him,
Peter Mayer. Yeah,
the hell with him.
Yeah,
all right, that's it for this week.
Okay, we'll see you next week. Who knows what kind of Biden is going to have next week.
So far, 2 weeks in a row are good. Let's see what happens. Okay. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.